Hello, and welcome to Sonoran Desert Institute's School of Firearms Technology's official podcast, The Gun Rack.
Oh, I will. I'll try to keep it. You know what I'm saying. I'll try to keep it.
Yeah.
Keep it a little short-winded.
All right. All right. Let's do this thing.
Okay,
everyone. Welcome to the Gun Rack, Sonoran Desert Institute School of Firearms Technology's official podcast. I'm Josiah Upper. Folks call me Joey. And today, with me, I have the one and only Kip Carpenter, who is Sonoran Desert Institute's master gunsmith and my general crutch whenever I want to goose the numbers for download statistics. I just slip one of his in there and the month looks a little bit better. But how are you doing, Kip?
I'm doing great. How are you doing? And say hello to everybody who's listening to the podcast today.
I am doing very well. Thank you very much. And for those of you who have listened to the podcast already, you already know that Kip and I do something we have termed the Great Firearm Debates. The first one we did was the AR versus the AK. We did it just kind of to see how conversation between someone who knows a lot and someone who knows very little would go. And it was fun, and we published it, and it became the most popular podcast episode we've ever had. So I said, Kip, we have to do more of them. So he came on and we did 1911 versus Glock, and we published that, and it became the second most popular podcast episode we've ever had. So we're going to try to keep things going, as you guys clearly enjoy the subject matter and or Kip, probably both. And we are going to expound upon what we talked about last time. Last time, again, we talked about Glock versus 1911. Today we're talking about Glock versus the world. The Glock is going to take on the world. And what that means is, instead of comparing the Glock to just the 1911 platform, we are going to compare it with some of our favorite and leading firearms platforms, do a little compare and contrast. If you are a Glock fan, and there are a lot of you out there, you know that your firearm is the greatest firearm that's ever been built. And we're going to try to poke holes in that a little bit, or see if we can. Maybe we're wrong. But anyway, we're going to get things rolling. Kip, to start this guy, let's talk about what with the Glock is so good. How did it become so popular, and why is it still popular today? Because this thing is, what, in its mid-30s now, right? Oh, it was a 1980s firearm.
Yes.
And it is more popular now than it was earlier. It arms militaries and police forces all across the planet. Mm-hmm. What made this thing catch on so well?
Well, my opinion, and also when I was at the Glock factory in Smyrna, Georgia, I actually asked this question. And one of the things that really, probably the strongest selling point, anybody who knows Glock history knows, that when Gustav Glock decided he wanted to do this type of gun, he looked at several different early models, some guns that people would have never even associated with a Glock, like the German Luger, okay?
Sure, yeah.
But there was things about different weapons that he liked, systems, and he wanted to incorporate. But at the same time, he wanted a very simple system that was really not only durable, but was very easy to maintain, very quickly could be maintained, and have the gun that could still have lightweight capability, high capacity, as also be totally reliable. And as I have nicknamed the Glock, whether people like them or not, they can say what they want to about them. But when you can take a pistol and shoot a million rounds through it and torture it through that million rounds, before you set it up and then shoot a straight million rounds through without stopping, how can you not be impressed by that if you're looking for a type of military style weapon? And it was accurate on top of that. Let me point that out as well.
Yeah.
So a lot of people say it's ugly, it's this and that. Well, it wasn't made to be a pretty gun. It was made to be a totally functional gun for law enforcement and military applications, as well as civilian sport applications. He wanted an all-around inclusive firearm, but it was really driven by that market. And when it came out, you just couldn't beat them. I mean, they just could not be beat. And trust me, guys, you know, I love Glock, and I love several firearm platforms out there. But you have to just own up to what it is. Glock came on the scene and just started kicking butt.
Yeah.
And look at the market today. Who hasn't copied a Glock in some form or fashion?
Yeah, absolutely.
What we see now more than anything, polymer frame pistols, striker fires, yeah. all this is coming up, and it all, you know, Glock kind of kicked that door open in his own way and did that, and it's just the way you have it. Now, the big debate comes, you know, and I guess we're going to dive into that, of Glock versus everyone, but, you know, starting off with this first thing, that's what I really see what made Glock so successful, so powerful. And I have had several of them. I have shot several of them. I'm advanced armor. I was a basic armor. I shot them in a little bit of competition. I shot Glock 34s. I did 17s. I carried a 17. My first experience with a Glock was in 1990 or 91 when I decided to go through the police academy. A friend of mine had witnessed a very horrific event in Miami where he was a Metro Dade police officer, and that's when the massacre happened with the FBI agents down there because they were outgunned. It was at that point Metro Miami Dade went with the Glocks. They were one of the first police departments to do it because of the Colombian drug dealers, everyone else that was showing up at that time. It was really bad down there, and they were just outpowered. So they went with the Glocks, and he said, Kip, if you're going to get one, get the Glock. And I didn't know really if I wanted one, you know, but I trusted him, and I shot his, and it was really, really, I was surprised how well I shot with it. You know, it was very accurate. Yeah. So I ordered one, and I got one. And when I went to the academy, even the instructors were teasing because I had a gun made by Mattel.
Yeah.
Because they were still into their Smith & Wessons, you know, the 5906s and 4906s and things of that nature. And
yeah.
And the Berettas. And at that time, they were all carrying Berettas. And by the time I finished that academy, guys, and I'm no exceptional shot, but because I did what the instructor said, and because I had that particular pistol in my hand at that time, I set two records at that police academy. And it was so accurate that the paper would be so shut out, I just got automatic perfect scores.
Oh, my gosh.
They even nicknamed me the heart surgeon. And I'm not going to say it was just the Glock was so tight, the pattern, that, you know, all everything was right there. There was no scattered. It was very impressive. So we'll start off with that. So if anybody starts saying he's hating, no, I'm not hating. I'm actually a fan. So.
Yeah, and I will add to that, my experience with Glock is less, but I have shot a few in several different calibers. And when I was taking my concealed carry course, a lot of the guys there did not yet own handguns. They were taking the course and kind of learning what they wanted as they went. And the main thing everybody but one or two said was that they didn't want a Glock. And the instructor asked why. And there was a lot of futzing around, myself included. I am included on this. I was a much less experienced shooter than I am now. And the main reason was because everyone had one. And they didn't want to be like everyone else. And I didn't want to be like everyone else, which fits because now I like CZs and that's kind of the stereotype. But the Glock 19 ended up being what I used in that course to qualify. And I should have just stuck with it because I could. I'm not an expert shot either by any means. I mean, I'm kind of embarrassing on some days, but it looks like I had punched a fist through the center at about 15 yards, and I was a very new shooter. That is the Glock 19. I mean, lots of Glocks, but the Glock 19 is one of the best firearms platforms I have ever shot. And the only reason I did not buy one was because I was stubborn, and that was a stupid thing to do. I think a lot of people maintain that everyone should own a Glock at some point, if for no other reason than to get it like experience whether this Glock is going to do for you what it does for so many people. So I do not own a Glock, and I have never owned a Glock, but I also very strongly endorse Glock, having shot, I don't know, 4 or 5 of the different platforms. The 26 is fantastic. 17 and 19 are of course very similar, but they're both great. Mm-hmm. 40 caliber is, you know, garbage, but the even the Glock with it is not the worst thing in the world. But I'm going to start this here, as you kind of already answered the question, but I wanted to start with the contemporaries or the things that were in circulation with Glock when it first made its way out, and then we could kind of make our way through to kind of the things that have come to challenge Glock in mm-hmm. more recent times. So what about, we've already talked about 1911. To sum it up, for those of you who didn't listen to the podcast, and do listen to the podcast, but the 1911 is not the Glock. The 1911 is a very good platform, but the Glock it is not. They are very different. Capacity is different. The whole, the Glock is just a more efficient firing platform, and that is coming from someone who owns a 1911, which I didn't tell you this, Kip. After our podcast episode, I went and bought a 1911.
Good for you.
I liked that conversation so much, and we talked and talked, and I think we talked a little bit about it being not the most cutting edge, but I went, I don't care. I'm going to go get one. So I got a SIG C3, which is out of circulation, but
yeah,
holy smokes, that might be my favorite firearm I've ever purchased. This is absolutely great. Anyways, I'm going to leave 1911 out, except for that little endorsement, because we've already talked about them. Let's talk about they're pretty close. Let's cover the Browning High Power, because I know at least, I think Canada had them in their military for a while. Britain definitely did. They were very popular at that time. They're still popular now, and they're flipping expensive to get your hands on a non-clone. I've been trying for forever, and as much as I like the movies that they're in, they are hard to get your hands on. So if you looked at the High Power versus the Glock, are there things with the Glock that are just flat out better than the High Power, or vice versa?
These are the questions that are always really difficult to answer, because they're both fine platforms, like you mentioned about the 1911, but they are all different in their own little ways, for different purposes. Again, my honest opinion is, on all of the platforms, like you mentioned CZ, fine, good weapon.
Yeah.
It's a fine file, okay? And the one particular you're talking about is a very good one. And there's some SIGs out there too that were around at the time. So,
oh my gosh, yes.
I cannot take away from any of those major competitors that were out at the same time Glock was. What I tell people is, you just really comes down to the basics of, you've got to pick what you really like.
Yeah.
I know people who shoot professionally. In fact, we have someone who represents us here at SDI, Casey.
Oh, yeah.
And I know you know Casey.
Yeah.
And Casey started out shooting for Glock, and that's all he shot. That's how I met Casey. I was at the armor school, and he was in the same class, and that's how we met.
Oh, no way.
Yeah, that's when I was American gunsmithing, doing my shot, you know. So that's actually how we met in the class. But anyhow, little did we know that our futures would come back together, and he'd be here. Yeah, but what did you shoot now? 1911s.
So, oh, really?
Yeah, he shoots a lot of the 1911 now. But the thing is, in the right hands, we all know you can be accurate with a lot of things.
Sure.
But the feel, the functions are all going to be different. If you were to put the Glock 19 in your hand, or the Glock 17, we'll just use a standard.
Sure.
And you were to put the Browning High Power in your hand, right off the bat, you're going to notice a totally difference.
Yeah,
because
absolutely.
Your Browning is going to be a slimline fit. It's going to be a single stack, slimline on your original traditionals. And they got a feel to them that just feels so wonderful.
Yeah.
And I'm like Joey. I don't want clones. I want the original John Browning High Power. And they were made to do what they were made to do, but again, you have to look at the argument. The argument is, which is better? Well, it depends on what you're talking about. If you look at Glock for what it was designed for, I would have to say Glock is a much better weapon for that suited purpose.
Yeah.
Okay? And I'm talking about law enforcement, military aspects in today's world.
Yeah.
Okay? It's not that the high-powered is obsolete. It's just that it's not practical when you have other tools that are just, let's face it, you're not going to take a high-powered out in the middle of the desert like our guys are doing in the Middle East right now.
Yeah.
It's going to jam up. It's going to lock. It's going to have problems. The Glock is not. You know, not to say that it can't. I'm just saying that it more likely will not. Okay. Yeah. And that's what you're looking at. But if you're looking at, I want to go to the target range and I want to shoot and I love this, then by all means, that should be the one you pick. Me personally, I'm one of them crazy sick individuals that say, I like everything I see in all these, so I want all of them.
Yeah.
Okay. So, you know, and that's the easiest way to handle all of it. But you know, you're going to find that there are differences in each one that are features that you may like better than others. Do I think Glock has features that make it better than some firearms in the way, in certain circumstances? Yes. In certain circumstances, no.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. We all love precision.
Yeah.
There are some firearms out there. We mentioned Sig Sauer. Sig Sauers usually always tend to have a little bit more parts, but they are very precision made firearms.
Yeah.
In fact, I enjoy working on them because they are such well-made firearms.
Yeah. 2022 is one of my all-time favorites.
Oh, yeah. Yep. And you know, you break them in and they're just great. So, you know, when you look at all the, but see, you're looking at a different, little bit different platform and stuff. The only person, and I hate to bring this up, but there was only one company who really blatantly copied Glock and ripped them off in their own way. And I won't say the company's name, but I think we probably all know who it was because it made headlines all over the place. And,
oh, yeah.
You know, and they've been a firearms company that's been in America for many, 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 many years. You know, and
I think. And their clone is very good, too.
Yeah, and the clone, it looks just, it works just like one, you know.
Yeah. So,
you know, even when I bought one when they first came out, Joey, just to
get
rebate on them, and you got them for like $220.
Yeah.
So they gave you $50 back on them, you sent a coupon in, or they give you extra mags. Well, I got the mags, but
yeah.
But the, I ripped it apart, and I'm like, can I literally just swap the parts here?
Yeah.
You know, it was so close, you know, but it did shoot a little different, I thought.
Yeah.
So, you know, that was the closest clone to it. But then the others out there now that are building off that platform, I like what I'm seeing.
Yeah.
I really do. I like where they're going with it because they're looking at what, okay, yeah, Glock did like Browning on him. He made a new standard of this type of style. But let's go do this with it. And you're starting to see that now. And I'm really kind of excited to see that.
Yeah, that's the exciting piece. So, kind of to recap there, for a lot of the contemporaries, the answer is not which is better and which is obsolete. That's just not the answer. The question is which is better at doing the exact job that Glock is made to do. And there aren't really, I might argue that CZ-75 is a competitor to it.
I do.
But it's not really a contest. not at what specifically Glock is going to do, especially today we have a lot of modularity with Glock that, it just isn't fair to ask of older firearms. It's just not what they were built to do. So let's move forward a little bit to some of the newer firearms that are very similar to Glock, and even some that aren't, and see if we have any that are that we would take over the Glock. For example, in my head, there's the basic ones are the Smith & Wesson M&P, the SIG P320, which are, again, all three of those firearms are very similar firearms. I'm going to add the XD, the Springfield XD, even though a lot of people don't care for the Springfield XD. Mm-hmm. I'm trying to think, what other really mainline Glock-like pieces are there? The big two, I think, are the XD and the Shield, because those are everywhere, all over the place.
XD is not a bad gun either.
It's not.
I think it's more handler error than
the yeah. Gun. To indicate to everyone that I have no business around a firearm, the XDE is one of my favorite guns I've ever shot. Just the ugliest firearm I think God could have put on this earth. It is foul looking. It's like, what if we took a Glock and stuck a hammer at the back and gave it a hump? Let's see, M&P, XD, 320, and I'm going to add...
Oh, geez, isn't it hard enough?
Yeah, I was about to say, I'm trying to think of modern, recent additions that have really come out and are giving Glock a hard time. I'm going to add a subcompact in there. We've already talked about SIG once, but have you shot the 365? Are you familiar with the P365?
I'm very familiar with, but I've not had a chance to have one in my hand yet.
Okay.
But give everybody a hint, I'm actually wanting to buy one.
Yeah,
to review it and really go through it, because I'm the kind of guy, and this probably doesn't surprise people, but the kind of collector I am, I don't want to just shoot one. I want to rip one apart and look at it and stuff.
Yeah,
see how it ticks and all that. And that's that's just me. So,
okay, so Smith and Wesson M&P versus the Glock. They are very similar firearms. You might be able to get. Yeah. I know you can get. With the M&P, a manual safety on almost all of their models. I think all of their models now.
Yeah, I think they're offering it to all of them now.
Yeah, so and for those of you who might not know, the M&P comes in the M&P standard size. There's the M&P C, which is, of course, the compact. It's really more of a semi-compact situation. It's kind of like a, it's about what, like a Glock 26 size, something like that?
Yeah, I'd say between like a 26 and a 19, somewhere.
Yeah, it's not quite small enough to be truly compact, in my opinion, but it's very comfortably in that semi-compact category. And I think it's one of the better in that category for its purposes. Yeah. And then there is the M&P Shield, which is one of the most popular firearms in the concealed carry world today. It's absurdly popular, and one of the reasons is it's so inexpensive. But do you have any gut opinions about one versus the other, and why?
Well, out of that list right there, let's start with the XD. We started with that. Let's just finish up with the XD real quick. The XD,
okay, yeah.
The XD is similar but different.
Mm-hmm.
And it's got features that I actually like on it, too. So it goes against the different kind of styles of features and things that you're looking for. Would I say it will outdo the Glock? I would say performance-wise, like shooting-wise, yeah, it's going to shoot all day. It's going to perform.
Yeah.
But would it hold up in really hard conditions that where they've already battle-tested the Glocks? I think the Glock would probably have an edge on it.
Yeah. Okay.
Without a doubt, I think it'd have edge. Now, let's talk about, for law enforcement purposes, let's just talk about the Glock 17 versus the M&P Shield.
Sure.
M&P Shield does have a lower price point. I think Smith & Wesson was smart for doing that. But
yes.
They built a very
good firearm. They had to get in there somehow.
Right, and they have very good firearm.
Yep.
I don't have a problem with M&P Shields. I've owned them.
Yep.
And I've owned a regular Shield when they first came out, and I've worked on lots of them. They don't have a lot of problem that I've seen. Like I said, what problems I have seen is there again, mostly user error. Some people like to limp wrist a Shield a lot for some reason. I never understood that, but I had some people that were having that, and it was always limp wristing that was causing it. I don't know the way. But I know others, like when I shot it, I don't see the problem at all because it's very balanced and I like it. actually the way it fires and fits into the hand. I do got kind of big, meaty hands, but
same.
Still, I like something that just, you know, when it feels right, it feels right, and it did. And I've never had any kind of jamming issues and stuff. Not that you can't get some crappy ammo and get a jam situation.
Yeah.
But that would probably be my number one pick under it. And I'm torn because I like my 220.
So yeah.
When it comes to SIGs, I like the SIGs. So I would put them there. And CZ would probably fall in there too, because, you know, CZ was another company that used to get ragged a lot at one point, because, you know, when they first started showing up, people like didn't really know what they were, but then they start shooting them.
Yeah.
And they start realizing that, you know, these are actually pretty good guns.
This is the comfiest gun in the world to shoot.
And I was just thinking, it's got one of the most comfortable guns you'll ever put in your hands.
Yeah.
You know, it reminds you of like a higher end Browning or Colt.
Yeah, it really does.
And so I really enjoy to shoot them is what I'm getting at. So, yeah. But on those consistent, I'd say those two are probably your two top competitors out there. But really, when it comes to, you go back to the Middle East and the desert, and you talk to the guys who've been there, you know, that's really what Glock was made for, was harsh environment. And I can see where, you know, you could use that. As far as civilian world goes, let's face it, I don't see many of us Ramboing out too much.
Seems unlikely, yeah.
jumping out of airplanes and helicopters anytime soon, and, you know, and really being Navy SEALs and things of that nature. In fact, at my age, I have a nephew that was in Special Forces and Ranger units, and, you know, if I tried to do half of anything he did, I'd be broken in half.
Yeah.
So, you know, it won't do me any good. But I would say this. I would just say this. You really need to shoot what you really want to compare something to and want to buy, and really shoot it.
Yeah.
You know, not just shoot a magazine to it and say, man, it feels great, I'm going to buy it. And then 2 weeks later, you're like, God, I wish I had bought this.
Yeah.
You know, don't be that guy. It's really good to really do your research. Have some fun with it. It don't have to be an argument. Have fun with it. Go to a range where you can rent a gun, rent it for an hour or two, and just shoot it really good. And then go rent the other one, shoot it the same, and then sit down and mentally look at it and write your pros and cons down on a list, and what you like about this one and what you don't like about that, and what you really want to use it for. Like Joey said, are you going to carry it or are you going to just shoot it?
Yeah.
So, and that's going to help with a lot of your decision making. And I know it's simple, but it really is true. The mental acuity you have is what you're expecting out of a firearm. So no salesman in the world can understand what you're really looking inside your brain for. You're going to know it when you shoot it. Can I hit with it? Can I be accurate with it? Does it do what I want it to do? And is it going to work for what I want to use it for? Those are the unknowns that really come into play too with this argument. But
yeah.
But, you know, at the end of the day, like them or love them, Glock is where they are for a reason.
Yeah.
And it's not because, guys, you guys know it's not because they're pretty.
Yeah.
Okay. And let me just say this too. Because people say, you never really say too many things bad about Glock. I said, well, it's because it's such a good gun. I can't. But I said, there is some weaknesses I don't like. And I'll put those out there now.
Okay.
First of all, who does really like the plastic sights?
Yeah.
Not with a Glock. I do not.
No.
Okay.
I don't think you have to switch everything in a Glock, but I think the sights
are
pretty high up there.
And I have to say, in all the years I've worked on them, the biggest thing that customers have always come in for, I want new sights put on my Glocks. I want Metros, or I want this, or, you know, but they want those plastic ones off. And guys, really, when I was actually using them in holsters a lot and drills, I have seen them rip off. I've seen them rip, you know, because they're plastic. They get hung up on a retention holster, and they get hot this way, and you yank it hard enough, it's a screw in plastic. It's going to come out.
Yeah.
But you replace it with something that won't, you get rid of that problem, and you got to, you know, I just think that they could upgrade the sights is what I'm getting at. That would be my suggestion. Let's put some good sights on there. That's one of them. And there has been some years that they came out with different styles that they did to the grip. I didn't like it. Like the original, my opinion, and I won't pick on models because if you know Glocks, you know which ones I'm talking about. But, you know, there's a certain Glock out now that's brought back the old one that I originally had basically in the police academy. The frame basically with the same kind of feel on it. And I guess it's popular, but I don't understand why it would be, because we were taking bicycle inner tubes and putting that on there, the rubber on there, before they had the little piece you can actually buy now and slip.
Yeah.
Well, we were making those out of bicycle inner tubes. Okay. And they didn't have the finger grip on them either. So they were flat. And so you wanted that little extra bulk end to keep it from slipping out of your hand.
Sure.
So that's one finish I probably would not buy again. Let's just put it that way.
Are we on the fifth generation of Glocks right now? Is that where we're at? Or are we past?
Yeah, we're Glock 5 now.
Yeah.
So, you know, and 4, let's talk about 4. 4 seems to be the generation that people like to say was the weakest Glock.
Yeah.
And I don't really think it was. I don't really think it was at all. Do I think all the improvements, some of the arguments you hear is the recoil system, when they changed that. They didn't like that. But I kind of like the double recoil system. I mean, because, you know, guys, if you've ever seen the original Glocks, like Joey and I were talking about when they first came out, it was nothing more than a stick and a spring.
Yeah.
Basically, it's just a kind of a flimsy plastic thing. You were really kind of apprehensive at first. When I first started looking at it, I was like, man, is this going to hold up? You know, you know what I mean? And, I think that really got knocked a little too much. And I think the Gen 4, in my honest opinion, I think all around it's a good gun. And I don't think that, I think a lot of it is like, whenever you come out with something new, I like this on this model better than when they did this here or that, or vice versa. I think it's just old preference. Like a Gen 3, and you love the Gen 3, and it was a great Gen. It was a good Gen 3 for good gun. And then you shoot a Gen 4, and it may be a little different. You don't like it.
Yeah.
So stay to the Gen 3 and upgrade.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that kind of thing. That is the other beauty about Glock. They do keep their parts relevant. You can keep your upgrades and keep your guns working. So that's another thing. They haven't gotten like some companies where they don't really want to sell to anybody anymore. And I think a lot of it's been because of liability reasons.
Yeah.
They're scared of lawyers now.
Yeah. So I wrote down, as you were talking, I wrote down a couple of things that I think do Glock a disservice, because I think we've established that they're excellent. So I'm trying to go the other way with it. And, the main point I think we've already hit, which is if you're going to go somewhere where you are just going to be facing adverse conditions, you should probably take a Glock with you, or like a revolver, because that's the reliability level we're operating on. It's really, really good. And there's other very reliable firearms platforms, most 1911s, CZ-75, a lot of them are very good and will be okay, but Glock is the winner there. I think where these other ones tend to have their advantages, one, and we were just talking about it, so I'll tie it in, is a lot of the big models that are not Glock do not have significant generational differences. So Glock's got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, and people tend to like one or not the other, and that's fine if you can get one and hold on to it, but it is it's a little odd to own a firearm and there be other versions of that firearm that you are not as familiar with. It's a little odd. The versatility of the Glock is a huge point for, I'm gonna say that before I forget it, it's one of, I think the P320 is catching up in terms of modularity, and there's some other ones too, but the Glock is the pioneer, and I still think reigns supreme in that particular area. However, most people do not live in the desert or are expecting to run around in the desert. They're expecting to shoot something at the range, possibly conceal carry it, or keep it as a home defense firearm. That's really going to be your main three. No one is, with these particular firearms, it's unlikely you're looking to hunt with it, right? So we're looking at tactical use, we're looking at maybe competition use, and then a little recreational use. For those purposes, the major points I think against it are price point, which is funny because Glock isn't really, like, they're not that expensive. It's just that, like, the Springfield XD is very inexpensive, and the M&P Shield, if you catch it at the right sale, is nearly free. I mean, they're very inexpensive firearms. The M&P Compact and the M&P Full tend to not go quite that far, but they're still, I know things right now, the way that the world is, gun prices are up a little bit, but back when things were kind of at a resting pattern, you could get a lot of M&Ps for well under $500. And Glocks, maybe not quite so much. XDs, very inexpensive firearms. I do think the XDS is the best model to come out of that. They're concealed carry, and that one is carries into another point that I had. Glock has addressed it a bit with, like, the 43 and whatnot, but Glocks are a little fat. And the reason my first concealed carry firearm was a P320. It lasted about 3 weeks because it was so fat, I could not feel like I was carrying it anywhere. It's a dimension that is completely ignored by a lot of manufacturers for reasons that make no sense to me. And they've come back now and fixed a lot of it with the XD. The P365 that's kind of one of their calling cards. A lot of these, they're not single stacks. It's kind of like stack and a half. You know what I'm talking about? Right. Mm-hmm. A lot of those have fixed that problem. But I think Glock's concealed carry option is not as strong as some of these other ones, because Glock hasn't caught up to that second, like the P365s of the world. And I think it's only a matter of time before they do catch up. So, like, I don't think they're permanently set back that way. But I do think there's a genuine shortfall by Glock in there, because they found a really good compact firearm, which is the 40 series. And I think they sat on their laurels on it for a little too long. And companies found a way to not only imitate them, but to strike back with some of these genuinely compact firearms. I can't think of any situation, aside from ergonomics, because I think the P320 is a better looking firearm than the Glock, where I would want a P320 over a Glock by any strong margin. They're both solid, but they're so dang similar. It's like, why not just get the Glock? And the price points are very similar too. So the M&P and XD really kind of, that's their in. So it's just a couple of things I've noticed and put together. And the answer is, for most people, for most purposes, they all work. If you have the budget to purchase a firearm and training, that would be my only caveat. If you only had, I'm going back to old world budgets, but you say, okay, I only have $600. I would probably tell you to get an M&P or an XD before a Glock, get more ammunition and training, and then maybe upgrade to a Glock later. And that is where a lot of people tend to be. You know, they say, hey, I don't have a lot of money, but I'm interested in, you know, exercising my rights. And also, this seems like a, you know, great hobby to get into and all of that. And that doesn't, just like any other people with any other hobby, they don't want to just put in thousands of dollars right away. You have to get them later once they realize how fun it is.
Right. And you make a very valid point too. A lot of people can't afford thousands of dollars.
Yeah.
And I will sit here and tell people all day long, you know, you've heard me say, go compare for yourself. Well, budget is definitely a consideration. Okay. I sold guns in my stores too. Okay. In my shops. So, you know, I work with my customers a lot of times, and that's why we were able to find them things. I had several customers that wanted a Glock but couldn't afford a Glock, but I had M&Ps that were running on sale for three something at that time.
Sure.
And I told them, this is a great alternative to it. It just like you're saying, and it's affordable in your budget range. It's reliable. It's safe. It's a good firearm. And
yeah,
try it. And meanwhile, if you don't like it, if you're at a range with some friends, see who's got a Glock, shoot it, and you may find you like your M&P better and you do that.
Yeah.
And if you do, you can always bring it back, and I'll upgrade you and trade you in, because I would do my customer very well if they took care of it.
Sure, of course.
And especially something they just didn't like a week later.
Yeah.
And then we go from there. And sure enough, in that particular case with a customer that I had, it was just this situation. I'm running this from a scenario. Came back a week later and said, you're right. I don't want Glock. I like this one better. I love
yeah.
it. Right. Right.
Yeah.
And then 2 years later, he came in and got a Glock 34 because he went to a Glock competition, shot the 34, fell in love with it, and did well with it. So he wanted the 34 to shoot that. But he still carried his M&P.
Yeah.
So see how it works? You know, I mean, it works that way. But the main thing is, you know, don't go too cheap. That's the one thing I want to warn people about. Be careful of the clones and knockoffs, because when you're talking about your life or your family's life, if you're using this for self-protection, you know, get the best you can
invest.
Get for your budget.
Yeah.
Yes.
And there are good, I'll point out to the listeners, because there's a couple of brands that I really like for that kind of thing. There are some clones that do work, and there are some that definitely do not work. There was a very embarrassing moment, and I won't rat out on who, but I was at one of these industry events with SDI, and they said, come check this out. It was a very clear competitor to Glock, and it jammed 3 out of 10 shots. That was a bad look.
Never good.
Yeah, but if you go and get like a Canik SFX, for example, that's a clone, and it's great. It works just fine. So if you're going to go that route, and again, I would strongly recommend maybe an M&P or XD. They did their homework. Their marketing was very smart, and they're established in the market where they are for a very good reason. But if you are going to go the clone route, do lots of research ahead of time. If you cannot find anything, that is for a reason. I have made that mistake. I will own up to it. Many people own up to that mistake. There's a lot of clones that do work, but there are lots that don't, and they come and go, and it's very hard to maintain them, et cetera, et cetera. Don't be the guy that's stuck with a firearm that you don't like and cannot fix. Or cannot
get rid of.
Yeah, can't get rid of, too. Because that's the unholy trinity. You don't buy any of that. But unfortunately, I'm out of time here. I've got to run to the next marketing adventure here. But once again, Kit, cannot thank you enough for coming on and talking about this with me. And I'll tease the next topic here. The next great firearms debate is going to be hunting, and it's going to be Remington versus the world. So the next one is going to be about hunting rifles and platforms, and I expect that to be lots and lots of, well, you have to get to the details on how they're different.
Yes.
Because that is the Lord's truth on a lot of them.
We got a lot of very good rifles out there.
There are.
Remington is definitely good, but there's some very
good. There's some superb platforms out there.
Oh, yes, and I have a few in mind already. So
yeah, well, there you go.
But, yeah, it was great talking to you guys, and see you next time.
All right. Take care, everyone. And for now, that's the Gun Rack. We'll see you at the range. Sonoran Desert Institute is an online school located at 1555 West University Drive in Tempe, Arizona, accredited by the DEAC. For more information, please call 800-336-8939 or visit sdi.edu.